Hard Drive DL is brought to you by Discover. Visit them at discover.com.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hello, everybody. Paulie from Hard Drive here in beautiful Las Vegas, and I have the pleasure to be joined now by the one and only Gavin Rossdale from Bush, who just played a beautiful acoustic set for us. That was amazing, Gavin. Thank you so much for meeting with me, and thank you so much for the songs.
Thanks for having us, me. It was a great pleasure, and I'm also thrilled to be in Vegas. I have no money left.
Yeah, me neither, man. That first night's always a killer, and you make some bad decisions, but that's Vegas, right? We don't have to live with those mistakes for long once we leave. I want to talk about the new song, This Is War. It's not a song that appeared on the original Black and White Rainbows, but it is on the new remastered deluxe edition that just came out a few months ago. Tell me about what went into writing this song and including it on the new remastered version.
Yeah, well, basically, we had the record going, Black and White Rainbows, and that was a certain type of record at a certain time, and then we went on tour. And when I was playing the shows, I was feeling that something was missing from the new record, something heavier, and I found myself playing so many heavy songs from other records that we have, that we got the opportunity to re-release the record with a new label, with BMG, and I thought that was a perfect time to start with the way we mean to continue, and so wrote This Is War, which was inspired by the events at Charlottesville, and it's ironic, because at a time now where there's a lot of gathering of young people who are already, you know, fed up with the whole lack of gun control or gun laws and these crazy killings that are happening, and so it just feels a very timely song. And This Is War is really it's a call to for action. It's a call to join forces with like-minded people that want to have a good, better life. So in a bizarre way, Charlottesville inspired it, but seeing the events unfold and seeing the kids talking to the president and the way that the children are affected and kids are affected at schools, not safe, 150,000 people can gather because they've all been victims of gun violence at schools, it's outrageous. So it feels a timely, good time for that song and for us all to come together.
You know, and it's sad because it's not just schools. I mean, even here in Las Vegas, there was that shooting a few months ago. And so, you know, to have a song like This Is War at this time, I feel, you know, was prescient on your part. Writing it, you know, you see these horrible things in the world. I would imagine that, especially these days, you probably have a lot of material to draw from, seeing as the sorry state we're in these days.
Yes, I mean, I always found it, you know, it was a real difficult line, maybe Rage Against the Machine have done the political thing. It's quite a difficult concept to straddle, where you still kind of make tunes and make things memorable. So I always like to personalize things, but it got so personal with Charlottesville, it got so personal with the Las Vegas shootings. You know, any of these mass killings is enough to inspire anyone. That's the power of music and the power of art, is to find a way to articulate what people are thinking and the frustrations that people have. So I'm just really, really honored to be a musician that has that outlet.
As far as writing new music goes, are you one of those artists who are constantly writing even when you're on the road, or do you need, you know, the solace of being at home before you can write new music? How does that work for you?
Well, ironically, and I'm glad you asked that, because we just wrote the whole new record. We have a brand new record and ready to sort of finish with a producer and stuff, but it's all recorded and sounds amazing, and it's super heavy. And it's going to scare some people, which is fine by me. And so what I like to do is I a lot of the time gather words and things that affect me I write down. But then I just wrote this record in the last couple of weeks here in Los Angeles. There in Los Angeles, we're in Vegas. And so I find going into the studio is the place where you, I call it trying to improve silence. So you take the day and you take a song and you take a set of lyrics. And I want to be the rock version of Bernie Taupin and Elton John. So it's like I have the lyrics, then I just go in and write the song, and then Chris comes in and plays on them and makes them great, and the band plays on them, and we sort of hone them. But I have the 10 songs ready to go, done and dusted. I'm really excited. I've never done it like that, so I'm ready to go.
This is about the fastest you've ever put together a record before?
100%, you know, but I felt so inspired and so pissed off and so energized by things I want to complain about and things I want to celebrate that I was actually, it came from this idea I once read when PJ Harvey wrote a Rid of Me album, which she did with Steve Albini, which I think is one of my favorite of hers. She wrote in 2 weeks. So I was thought that is like a really intense artistic statement. It becomes a statement, and all the songs are connected. They're different, but they're connected. And so I wrote this record in the shortest time that I've ever done it. But that's not to say it's not to say it isn't full of quality. I didn't do it and be like, it's not a race, because no one cares actually how long you wrote how long the Mastodon record took to write. No one cares. But it gave me a cohesive statement to be made. So I'm thrilled.
Looking at the way people consume music today, especially with digital formats and streaming, where they can just hear a song, listen to like a minute and a half of it, and skip to the next one, do you ever feel the need to just write songs and kind of put them out there, or are you still a fan of the album format and putting music out as a group of works together?
Well, I think you got to just take modern life on the chin and just roll with the punches. So obviously, if people only hear a minute of your track, better make sure your beginnings are pretty good, and the onus is back on the writing. I personally like to hear albums. When I'm working out, I'll play Mastodon, I'll play System of a Down, and I'm not skipping through going, ooh, I've just heard one Mastodon song. I really need to switch now and listen to, someone else, Carly B or something. So I like the continuity of that, but that's just what I like. But I wouldn't force that on someone else like, oh, my God, if you listen to only one song of ours and move on, I'm going to cry. I save my tears for when they're really needed.
Tell me about, what is your reaction to fans? Because there seems to be, especially in rock and metal, there's this kind of attitude sometimes that infects fans where they don't want their musicians to grow and evolve. They just want them to keep writing the same records over and over again. So for the fans of Bush out there who just want, 16 Stone over and over again, I mean, what do you say to that?
I've always said that if I wanted to be really successful, I should have done the same record backwards. And just that would have been incredible. But I would say that the thing is that I never lost any of those songs. And I think the last record I made was probably like weirdly the most probably commercial, too commercial. My girlfriend didn't like it. And so I've made a super heavy record now that's really fun to do. And in a way, if you have a long career, it's often about the seesaw of life, and you write songs in a certain mood at a certain time, and they suit you then. And then when I came to write this record, why I was so artistically clear about it, because I just wanted to make it so heavy, like way heavier record than I ever made. So that's what I did. So weirdly, even though it may frustrate some fans that you don't repeat your records, they can press repeat on the records they do enjoy, first off. And secondly, it allows us to go places. And, if you are a true artist and you're out on a limb, you don't want to play safe. And sometimes playing safe means that you fuck up and you screw up and it isn't the right record, or isn't as good. But then you come back and you have what they call a return to form. There's a great Liza Minnelli quote who said that a career is just a series of comebacks. So my next comeback record is fucking great.
Can you maybe share some more details about the record as far as moments that were inspiring to you, or maybe a title or a release date maybe?
Yeah, release date, I that's a bit out of my wheelhouse, but the record is going to be called Battles, and I am gung-ho and ready to go. We got some touring coming up. We have some good summer plans in North America, and really the focus is on getting that new record completed. For me, the hardest work of it is done, which is the silence is over. The songs are there, and so now it's a case of finding the right person to finish them with, right person to mix them, and making sure everybody plays on them. And that makes for a really exciting time. For me as a songwriter, it's like I'm laughing because I'm, you know, that side of it is done. You know, yeah, I want to put this bit there, that bit there. Yeah, go ahead, knock yourself out. You know, that's kind of like easy peasy, especially with like computers now. You know, it's not like cutting tape or making bands do it. So it's just, it's super exciting time, and I'm thrilled. So it can't come out soon enough for me. But we're having great success with This Is War. So let that just kind of do its thing, and then just punch people in the face in the nicest way with this new record.
Give us a quick rundown of what the tour plans are for this year.
Tour plans this summer. We're looking. I'm getting a negative. Not negative. I'm getting the nodding of a head in the room, surreptitiously saying that I'm not allowed to say exactly when. To me, but we will be out this summer, like two and a half months of touring around North America. So if we're not coming near you, please get over there, because I promise you it's going to be incredible.
I do notice you do have a couple of festivals already announced, especially Rock USA and Rockfest in Gadot. You are no stranger to playing music festivals, and I always like to ask some of the more veteran musicians about their feelings on a U.S. festival crowd as compared to like a European festival crowd or a festival crowd in another part of the world. How would you describe the differences in those audiences?
Well, it's always best to play in the dark, and hopefully by the time you play in the dark, everyone's so wasted, they're just having such a great time that it's not necessarily, it's not like a best man speech at a wedding, which is kind of like everybody wants you to do great, but there's a sense that for people to spend their well-earned money, that they want everyone to be great and everyone to rock and give a great time and be sort of in some way, the best way they can, transcendental. That's why we go and see shows, you know, to kind of lose our minds and lose our perspective and change our emotions. So for me, the most important thing is from our side on the stage is to get so lost in it that you're just so compelling that whoever you're playing to is converted, you know. The European crowds there's not as much regulation of them as there is in America, where everyone's sort of, I don't know, feels a bit like they're scared everyone's going to sort of fall over and graze their beards or something. It's like, it's going to be okay, everyone, you know? But I just think it's just, the better you are, the better the crowd is. And I think our responsibility is to create that amazing energy from the get-go till the end of the set, and in which case, every audience is the best audience.
Talking about the crowds a little more, you're no stranger to just getting out in there and really connecting with your audience on a physical level. Has there ever been a moment where you thought better of it, or you were like, maybe this was a bad idea coming out here? Is something weird happened, or somebody got a little too handsy or anything like that?
Yeah, people get super handsy. I mean, now with this incredible, you know, movement, the women's movement, the Me Too movement, you know, things that have happened to me out there, wow, you know, I got some stories. But No, the times when it gets scary and out, and I don't go through the crowd in an aggressive way. You know, it's really is, I love breaking that, the dimension of like the separation between the audience and the stage. And I don't want to be like a TV screen that's just sort of over there. So I love it. And the joy when you go through the crowd, especially when you're playing the sheds, when you go all the way up onto the grass, and I try and go as far as I can. And it just blows people away because they're just not expecting it. And I try to not make it too regular, but there's always some point in the show where I'm like, fuck it, I got to do it. So the times it's gotten scary is where you go out and there's not enough support. So if you go out to a lawn and there's like, you know, 5,000 people on the lawn and you're in the wrong part, I've had times where people get caught and start falling. That can be scary. So that side of it I don't like. But generally it just makes for a really, really great time. And it's hard to be surprising in 2018. And yet people get surprised when you're standing next to them screaming a song and they're with you. It's just a great moment.
Finally, before we wrap up here, I'd like to ask if you have any acting plans left up, because, you know, it's always a pleasure to see you on the screen as well as on the stage. So if there's any work you have lined up in the future or anything you're excited about.
Yeah, thank you for that. I really enjoy the process of acting. To be honest, I've sort of committed to all my travel plans are based on music. And the problem with being an actor and all that stuff is that if you get a gig, you say, I got a film, I got a movie. You go, that's great, so I'm going to be in Prague for 3 months. It doesn't work for me. If I'm going to be in Prague for 3 months, I want to be singing. And so whilst I love it and I'm not about to turn down Scorsese at any point, like my focus and my passion is too music-based to spend my time auditioning.
Excellent. Gavin Rossdale, thank you so much for your time. New record is going to be Battles, coming out soon. I'm very much looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.